Today we're going to be talking about something that we talked about in our leadership retreat earlier last year, and it's one of the goals that we set forth for the church, and that is the establishment of a new ministry. And if you're here with us for the first time today, today is going to be a little different than what we normally do. Today is going to be somewhat informative to the church body about the direction, one of the directions our church is going to be taking over the next year. Starting next week, we're going to be getting into a sermon series on what understanding our faith and how we live it out is going to be in sync with what's being taught in our Sunday school, and I'm looking forward to it. But today we're going to be talking about a new ministry, and that is the deacon's ministry. Now, depending on what your background is, the word deacon might mean something different to you, or it may have no meaning to you at all. But the way we are defining it here at IBCD is the word as it stands in the scripture, which means servant. And there's a ministry within the New Testament, which is this deacon's ministry. Now, of course, the word for servant, which the Greek is diakonos, that's where you get the word deacon, is found all throughout the scripture. Sometimes it's talking about servants in general. The Apostle Paul calls himself a servant of Christ. He also calls himself a slave of Christ, doulos. But there's also this very specific office, which is known as the deacons. And in a nutshell, I had a lady one time describe to me, in a nutshell, who deacons are in the church are people who serve others in their convenience and in their inconvenience. And that really becomes the defining difference, because everyone is to have a servant's heart, which is true. But deacons are those who are willing to serve needs found within the church and outside the church when it is convenient for them to do so. But probably more importantly, they're also willing to do it when it's inconvenient. And the truth is, a lot of us don't like to do things when it's inconvenient for us. You know, the fact that we have a difficult time getting Sunday school teachers, even though we would all agree that our children's ministry is an important one, is a sign that human nature doesn't want to do something it finds inconvenient, because we have a hard time finding people willing to teach our Sunday school. So when we call upon people to be deacons, we need to consider the fact that it is going to be at times an inconvenient ministry. Now, we've mentioned that the mission of the church, we talk about this all the time, is to reach the lost and to make disciples. That's the mission of the church. And in the scripture, there's a leadership which is set up in the scripture to help the church reach this goal. And there's two offices that are talked about. The office of elder, now some of your English translations will use bishop or overseer, and the office of deacon. Now, that doesn't mean that these are the only people in leadership within the church. The Apostle Paul lists a whole bunch of different places of leadership within the church: teachers, preachers, administrators, evangelists. But these two bodies are to work together to bring a holistic ministry into the body of Christ, of direction, of vision, and of care. But what's interesting is that a lot of the churches throughout history have done away with one or the other of these two particular offices. In fact, IBCD, we don't have deacons. I've looked throughout our history. I don't see a time when IBCD ever did have deacons. And only a few years before I came did IBCD adopt elder leadership. And it's not that unusual for churches to kind of abandon what was in the scripture as God-given instruction for leadership. I come from a Baptist background, and for the most part, Baptist churches don't have elders. Now, they'll have deacons, but deacons are really kind of this weird mix of elders as well as administrators. It's not really servants as seen in the New Testament. Some churches, some denominations are very priest-centric. Everything is centered on one person, and there isn't a leadership throughout the whole body of Christ. It's just kind of priest-centric. And you say, well, why is this? Well, I think it's because over the years, sometimes we think that we're smarter than the Bible. We get people that figure that they understand things better than the Bible. We have kings that decide that they should be the one that lead the church because that seems better to them than what the Bible has in place. Henry VIII was a good example of that. You have popes that want to lead the church because they think that's better than the example we have in the Bible. You have ideas like democracy, that democracy should rule in the church. You know, the truth is, you don't see democracy in the scripture leading the church. So we get these ideas in place, and we tend to fall in love with these different ideas, and we abandon what's in the scripture. And sometimes we also abandon these things, not because we really are aware of it, but there's certain cultural things that we've incorporated into our lives. We think this is how the world should be. As an American, for example, democracy, well, obviously that's how everything should be. But that's not necessarily a value that is incorporated into church leadership. And we can't expect to change the face of Christianity around the world, nor are we responsible to change the face of Christianity around the world, but we are responsible for IBCD. I am and you are. If this is where God has you right now, you are responsible and I am responsible for this church following a biblical example of what it means to be a church. And so we have lots of different perspectives on how this all should look. And, you know, one of the things that I often brag about this church, and I brag only in, you know, the most best way in the Lord, of course. You know, when I tell others about this church, I tell my colleagues about you guys, my non-Christians, my family, friends. I find this to be an amazing place because, you know, and I've mentioned it before, we represent so many different countries and cultures and backgrounds, and yet we come together and there's a unity that is here, which is unique. It's not a unity based on a common cultural understanding or expectation. It's not a unity based on this having the same church background, but it is a unity that is based on Christ. And I appreciate that very much about this church. And I appreciate it about the church I came from. It allows me to pastor in a way that I feel like God wants me to pastor. I don't have to try and be someone that I'm not. But like any church body, we have our weaknesses. And one of the weaknesses that we have, and the leadership during our leadership retreat acknowledged it, is that we have a weakness in communication, and we also have a weakness in meeting the felt needs of the church body. And we've done things to try and address some of these weaknesses, like we have home groups so that people can meet throughout the week and share what's going on in their lives. We have several Bible studies going on. We have men's groups, the men's breakfast, men's Bible study. We have the moms with kids group. We have all these different groups to try and bring people together so that they can have their felt needs met. But one of the obvious things that we've never put into place and we don't have in place is what the scriptures offered us is the deacon ministry. Those people who are called by God to serve the body of Christ in their convenience and in their inconvenience. And so let's look at how this came about. How did the deacon ministry come about? Where does this come from the scripture? Well, it started in the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, there's a story that talks about the church is growing and lots of people are coming and there's a lot of needs that need to be met. And frankly, the needs are not being met. And there's a group of Judaism was kind of broken up into Hebrew Jews who grew up in the Middle East there, and Grecian Jews who were Jews but from a Greek background. So, for example, of the disciples, Philip is thought to be a Greek Jew because his name is a Greek name, whereas Peter is thought to be a Hebrew Jew. His name is Hebrew, and we see that he was a fisherman in that area. And there was some tension between these two groups. Even though they were both Jews, there was tension between them. It says this, "In those days when the number of the disciples were increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food." So in the care ministry, the Greek Jews felt like our widows are being overlooked. "So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom, and we will turn this responsibility over to them. And we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.' This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and also Philip, Procurius, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, who was a convert from Judaism, or to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them." So we see that this is how it began, that they acknowledged, it's kind of the same thing that we have struggled with as a church, that there are needs of folks inside the church and outside the church that are hard for us to address. Either we don't know what's going on, or we don't have we're kind of scattered all over the place, so we don't have the means in place to help out. And so what they did is they chose some folks that this was going to be their focus. Now, the first group that were chosen were men, but we see later on in the scripture that women were also included in the deacon ministry. There's a lady who is spoken of very specifically named Phoebe. Paul writes about her. And he says, "I recommend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon from the church of Cenchrea, so that you may welcome her in the Lord as is fitting for the saints, to help her, whatever help she may require of you, for she has been a benefactor of many and of myself as well." People think that Phoebe is actually the one that carried the letter of Romans to the Roman church. Now, to be fair, over the years, people have changed the word deacon, which in this case is in this particular English translation. It's not a feminized form of the word. It's a masculine form of the word, which would indicate it's an office. But for reasons, somewhat political reasons, oftentimes she's just called a servant. NIV does this. "I recommend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant." Some people think the reason why some translations do this is because they don't feel that women should be deacons. But I've looked at the scripture, and the elders have looked at the scripture, and also examples found in the early church where women served in this role as deacon, as servant. And so the elders, it's our responsibility in this place, in this church, to come to the conclusions for the church as far as these kinds of ministries go. And we believe that women should be involved in the deacon's ministry. So at IBCD, we're going to ask women to be involved in the deacon's ministry. If you have further questions about that, always feel free to ask me. So then what are the qualifications of, you can ask someone else. I'm just saying, let's not ask right now, ask me privately. So then we're going to get to the qualifications of deacons. These are the basic qualifications. It says this: "Deacons likewise must be serious, not double-tongued, not indulging in much wine, not greedy for money. They must hold fast to the mystery of faith, of the faith, with a clear conscience. And let them first be tested then. If they prove themselves blameless, let them serve as deacons. Women likewise must be serious, not slanderers, but temperate and faithful in all things." To be fair, again, some of your English translations say wives there, not women. But the word in Greek is kind of like Frau in German. It can be woman, it can be wife, depending on context. So anyways, it goes on to say, they are to be serious, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be married once. Again, in the Greek it says the deacon should be a one-woman man. That's how they actually put it. And let them manage their children and households well. For those who serve as deacons gain a good understanding for themselves and great boldness in faith that is in Christ Jesus. So one of the questions that sometimes comes up is, can divorced people be deacons? And we say, again, your elders have looked at this, prayed about this, studied this, and come to the conclusion, what they're talking about here is the polygamy, that you're not to be polygamous, and this is how this has been understood throughout history. So we will look at each individual in their own particular life situation before becoming a deacon, but divorce doesn't necessarily disqualify someone from being a deacon. Now, we understand as elders that people are going to have different takes on all these issues, especially the issue of women being involved, the issue of can you be divorced and still be a deacon. We understand that, but again, we're going to ask you to respect that this is the role of the elders in the church. Our role in the church is to look into church doctrine, to put forth vision for the church, and overall pastoral care. And so this is the conclusion that we've reached, and we ask you, if you want to discuss it, feel free to discuss it. But this is the direction that the elders are taking the deacon's ministry. So with that said, we want to talk about how do deacons relate to the leadership of the church. Well, our expectation at IBCD is that the deacons will meet the physical, emotional, they need to be available to meet physical, emotional, and sometimes even spiritual needs of the body. It doesn't mean that as a pastor, I'm abandoning all this to the deacons. But it does mean I'll be working in partnership with the deacons. I'll be walking alongside them. They'll be walking alongside me, keeping each other informed so that we can minister to the body of Christ better. And so how it fits into the overall leadership of the church, we have these two groups that are already established, and then the deacons will be coming in. For example, the elders are responsible for the church's doctrine and beliefs, vision for the future direction of the church, and overall pastoral ministry. As a pastor, I'm also one of the elders. That's how our church is organized. I'm your only paid full-time staff, but I'm also one of the elders. We also have Gary Arnold is currently an elder, and Giwi Fett, who's an elder, and Alva Tripp, who's an elder. The administration team, of which Jenny Shamish is currently our chairperson, is responsible for the administrative function of the church, such as organizing our finances, facility maintenance, contracts, and pretty much whatever else needs to be done so the vision of the church can move forward. The administration team keeps the wheels moving forward. The deacons, as they come in, are going to be responsible to work with the pastor and elders to meet the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the people at the church, and also, actually, outside the church as well. They are the servants. Again, people that serve in their convenience and inconvenience. And again, someone may say, shouldn't everyone have a servant's heart? Yes, just like the scripture says, everyone is to do the work of the evangelist. But we all know some folks are more gifted in certain things than others. Others have passion for areas, more passion in certain areas than others. And the deacons, I, as the pastor, am putting a lot of trust into the deacons. I'm going to be trusting them with the heart of the people of IBCD. And so this is a heavy responsibility. It's a blessed one, just like the scripture says, anyone that seeks to be an elder is seeking something that is noble and good, but is something that needs to be approached with a certain amount of understanding that this is not just something you do on a whim. This is a calling. And so I hand it out to you, at least some of you should have. If you don't have it, maybe there's a few extra lying around, a basic job description for the deacons. And this is what we're going to be, this is what we're presenting to you as a body for the deacons. This is what we expect. I'm just going to read through this real quick. So the purpose of deacons are servants and leaders of ministries who support the work of the church and the elders. There's a bunch of scriptures you can look up there. Key qualifications in the local church: deacons are chosen members of spiritual commitment, exemplary life, compassionate spirit, and sound judgment. So this sets a high standard for the deacon's character as defined by these scriptures. Based on this, a deacon must be worthy of respect, sincere and honest, not a drunkard, not greedy, not a gossip, temperate and self-controlled, trustworthy, a one-woman man or one-man woman, able to manage the family well, a humble servant, that should be servant, and confident of gifts. A deacon should be personally called to this task, and that call should be affirmed by other people in the church. He or she should know their own spiritual gifts, have a good knowledge of the Bible. Ideally, to prepare for this calling, a deacon should spend 6 months to a year being mentored for this calling. The key task, the office of the deacon, is one of servanthood and service representing Christ through the action of the Holy Spirit. Deacons are set apart primarily for a ministry of mercy and service, assisting the elders in the care, visitation, and oversight of the congregation. And to fulfill this calling, the deacon is charged with organizing assistance to people in need within the congregation of IBCD. This is not restricted to, but can include help with moving, preparing food to be delivered to the sick or the indisposed, help people new to the country assimilate, etc. Keep the pastor informed as to the needs unique to his skill set, for example, a necessary hospital visit. Deacons could visit the hospital, but in Germany sometimes they insist that only the pastor can visit certain areas of the hospital. But sometimes the deacons can come. Wise distribution of gifts for benevolence and mission. Again, in Germany, we're not allowed to give money to people unless it becomes a taxable benefit. So the deacons will have to figure out how we can express benevolence. In my background in the U.S., giving money to help someone in need is not a big deal. But here it can kind of mess up things, especially if they're already receiving money from the state. Visitation and encouragement to those in need. Express compassion toward the poor, the widowed, the orphaned, and foreigner through practical expressions of care. Look ahead at practical ministry needs and provide help to make those ministries succeed. praying for members, leaders, and pastors, and regular attendance at worship service and leadership meetings. So this is the basic job description. And forgive a few typos in that. And like anything that's new, this is a work in progress. We are in progress to put this into place. What we wanted to do is to sync very smoothly with what we already have in place at IBCD. We don't want the deacon's ministry to become a disruption to other ministries at the IBCD. And if anyone's feeling, I hope no one's feeling threatened by the idea of the deacons, because believe me, no one's workload is going to become any less. So if you're feeling like they're going to take away my spot, no, they're not. They're going to add to what we, they're going to make it possible to more fully minister to the church and IBCD. They're not going to be taking anything away. What we'd like to do, because in my years here, we've seen that sometimes when we start something without a whole lot of preparation beforehand, it can be pretty rough. We had a pretty rough go to the start of some other ministries. It's just because that's pretty much my fault. We just kind of threw it in the middle and said, here we go, without any real preparation around it, preparing the people and preparing those involved in the ministry. So what we're going to do as elders, and this is part of our mandate to try and make this go well, is that we're going to talk to a few people in the church body that we as elders feel like meet the qualifications for deacons. We're going to see if they want to be trained, go through this kind of mentorship process up until April. April's when we have our big business meeting and we vote on folks. We want to get the first group in. The elders are going to ask the congregation to allow us to kind of choose that first group to get them up to speed and to get them trained so that when we start the deacons ministry, when people are voted in April, you know, people know what they're doing. After that, the church body will have more of a say as who they would like to nominate to be deacons. But we want to kind of get this thing started and put our arms around it and help birth it into the church instead of just kind of drop it in the middle of the church and say, all right, let's see how this works out without any preparation at all. We've done that in the past. That hasn't worked out that great. So we want to do something a little bit different this time. So that's our plan. That's what the elders are going to be doing. We're going to be looking, asking a few people who seem to fit this bill as far as the elders are concerned to see if they would be interested in walking in this place, being trained in this place, so that we can get this going in a smooth and beneficial way. Now, I expect that some folks may have questions, and I have no problem with folks having questions. So if you want to ask me anything afterward, feel free to do so. If you want to ask how do we reach these conclusions, feel free to do so. I understand that some may disagree with some of the conclusion the elders have come to. That's totally fine. You can disagree. It's up to you if you can disagree and still manage to walk where we're going to go as a church with this. But we didn't come to this without a lot of prayer and thinking about it. And the goal of the deacons' ministry is a clear one, and that's we want to improve communication so that we can meet the felt needs within the church body and outside the church body. We don't want to hear 3 weeks after the fact someone has been in the hospital. We don't want to hear a month after the fact someone's parent died. We want to be able to meet these needs now and when we hear about it so that we can reach out. Because I think a lot of times, because we're scattered, sometimes things kind of fall through the cracks. And the Scripture has already given us an answer to how to answer that question, which is the deacons. So that's what we're going to be doing. And I just ask you to be in prayer for us as leadership, us being the elders, the administration team, be in prayer for those who God would call upon us to ask if they'd be interested in helping out with the deacon's ministry. And just we'd appreciate your prayers. And again, questions, feel free to ask. There's nothing that we don't want to just say, shut up, don't ask. We want you to feel like you've had your questions answered. So this is where we're going. This is one of the things that we're going to be starting this year. This is kind of a new ministry. This is going to become, hopefully, a big and vital part of who we are as a church so that we can continue to minister, to reach the lost, and make disciples. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the opportunity you give us to serve you in many different ways. And we thank you that according to your word, you have equipped the church to be a body in Christ, that there is different roles, different places where people have gifts and talents and passions to serve. And Father, we pray that as we bring in this biblical ministry of the deacons, that you would guide us as a church, guide us as elders, guide us on other places of leadership, the administration team, everyone who's going to be involved in this, that we would keep our eyes on you and that you would guide us through this process, that it wouldn't be just about fulfilling one person or a group's agenda, but that we would take the desire that you have deacons to be servants, and we would approach it also with a servant's heart, seeking the best for this church whom you love, this amazing place called International Baptist Church of Dusseldorf. And Lord, we pray your continued blessings as we head into the new year. We pray your blessings upon us as individuals. We ask, you know, you have plans for each one of us here as individuals, and God, we pray that you would guide us in those things. And you know, and we know you have plans for us as a church, that you would help us to be the church that is pleasing to you, one that you find desirous, one that you find is a people seeking your heart. And so, Father, we pray that you would guide us in all things. We humbly want to come before you and say, we just want to do what we see you guiding us to do and what is in your word to do. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.